Brilliance Audio presents For All She Knows by Jamie Beck, performed by Amy McFadden and Shannon McManus. Grace. Sunday, January 10th, 2021, 12:15 a.m. Shock Trauma Center ER, near Baltimore. Everyone warned me that the day would come when I'd regret befriending Mimi Gillette, but despite our many differences, Mimi and I had clicked from the moment we first met in our son's toddler playgroup years ago, when her earnestness cracked me open like an egg. After 15 minutes of chit-chat, she'd grabbed my hand to say, "I hope we can be good friends," and I'd known she'd meant it. Sure, she could be flamboyant, and our differing parenting styles had made for some interesting conversations, but she was all heart, even after her ex-husband ground it beneath his boot heel and left her to raise their son alone. And so I'd tuned out public opinion all these years. Curling forward, I hugged my calves and buried my face in my lap, each breath burning my lungs. The not-quite-sweet chemical odor of hospital disinfectant wasn't helping. With my eyes closed, the recent scene in Mimi's basement flickered like a horror film. The memory of my son's terrified tears as he lay prone and immobile on the tile floor sent a shiver down my back. I swallowed another bitter surge of bile. "Excuse me," I gasped for the young nurse passing by the area where they'd left us after wheeling Carter off for tests. "My son, Carter Phillips, was taken for MRIs and other tests a while ago, but we haven't had any updates."
"Let me check for you."
Despite being harried, he flashed a sympathetic smile before continuing his journey, his focus again glued to the iPad in his hand. "Thank you," I called after him. The clock read 12:15. Every minute seemed an eternity. Across the room, our daughter, Kim, lay sleeping in her pink and black leopard print PJs and slippers, her lanky 10-year-old body strewn across my husband's lap. When we'd gotten Mimi's phone call, I'd charged across town to her house to catch the EMTs, still in my UGG slippers and yoga pants, while Sam had stayed behind, waiting for the girls at Kim's sleepover to be picked up by shocked parents. Now he was stroking her hair, staring into space, probably praying, like me. My gaze drifted back to Sam. Our eyes met, but I glanced away.
Mimi. January 4th, 5:45 p.m. Sandy Shores Care Center, Potomac Point. "Good luck tonight, Mimi," Agnes waved as I left her room. I strolled through the lobby, saying goodbye to Clara, a care worker whose poor dye job made me suspect she did it herself, before zipping up my winter coat to brace for the Arctic blast outside. My legs froze on the run across the parking lot, so I fired up the heat as soon as the ignition turned over. The windows fogged while I rubbed my hands together before putting the car in reverse and heading home. Even in the dark, you could see that our little craftsman needed work. I made my way in through the side door, which led directly to the 1990s-style kitchen. Bland, blonde wood. Ugly, to tell the truth. Cream-colored appliances and tile counters. I still hadn't found the secret to keeping that grout clean. Grace could make it sparkle, though. I'd never forget coming home after my appendectomy 3 years ago to find my house cleaned and organized top to bottom with the laundry washed and ironed and the fridge loaded with food. Grace had even put fresh hydrangeas in my living room and bedroom. No one had pampered me that way since my parents had died. The memory could still make me a little weepy. Sadly, neither Rowan nor I tidied up as well as Grace, but neither of us was overly bothered by clutter either. Speaking of my son, he sat slumped over the small oak table in the corner, eating pizza and watching something on his phone. I tapped his shoulder to get him to acknowledge my presence. He barely raised his gaze. "Hey, Mom. How was your day?" "Fine," he mumbled, his focus still on his screen as he lied. "Hey, give me 2 seconds and tell me what's up."
"Nothing's up," he huffed, still not meeting my gaze.
"Rowan, I know when something's wrong. Did you flunk that history quiz?"
"Gotta be."
A jolt of joy made me squeeze his shoulder. "That's great.
See what happens when you apply yourself.
It wasn't me. Carter helped me study.
That's nice of him. But you put in the work. Well done. So then, what's with the mood? Rowan heaved a sigh.
Dad's blowing me off again this weekend.
Without Dirk, I wouldn't have my son. So I didn't regret having loved that man. But boy, did I wish Rowan had a better father.